guys, welcome to the weekend edition of the Pixelbot podcast. I'm Jed, and with me is Gabe.
Hey, everyone.
You have to speak louder, I think.
Sorry.
We're going live this time, so this time around we're not Skyping this time, so it's...
Yeah, Gabe's actually here at the studio.
Quote-unquote.
Quote-unquote studio. And, yeah, we're here to... Yeah, so this is another weekend edition, so our schedules have been kind of crazy, so we haven't had a chance to really put ourselves, like, on a steady schedule. But so we're bringing you, like, a weekend edition. This one's probably going to be just a little bit shorter than normal. But, yeah, so welcome again to the podcast, and I don't know what we should talk about.
Well, first. You today...
Oh, yeah, today, yeah. I'm so tired. Like, today there was a... small comic the Long Beach Comic Con or the Long Beach Comic Expo over in obviously Long Beach. So I was there today and it was really small, just a really tiny con. It was I would say about like an eighth the size of WonderCon, which was still fine because it's because even there was a lot more even more opportunities to talk to the artists that were there. Because when we were at Comic-Con, we didn't really...
WonderCon.
At WonderCon, my bad. I'm so tired right now. But when we were at WonderCon, I mean, we got to talk to some artists and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I would assume that, because with WonderCon, it was, you know, it's not a Comic-Con, but it's fairly large in size. So with yours, it's a lot smaller, so I think it seemed a little more personal and a little more... actually comic book oriented than just a mix of video games,
right,
anime, movies, mm-hmm. and all that, so...
Yeah, I mean, I did get to talk to a lot of the artists there, and mm-hmm. I really got to... And it's funny, because one of the artists that we met there, like, he does... his name was Q Che. He's like an Asian dude, and his stuff was insane. Like, crazy. Like, all his stuff was sketched out, but he would sketch out on, like, giant pieces of paper, of canvas.
Wow.
And these were, like, huge. I have a picture. I'll show you in a little bit. I have a picture of, like, because I put my hand on the picture to show, like, the size comparison. And it's, he would draw on, like, ginormous canvases. Yeah. And it's funny because, actually, when I was talking to him, he worked at like a whole bunch of different design places. A lot of advertising, that's what he did. And he actually worked at my old job.
Oh,
like,
okay.
West LA. So he knew some of the people.
Nice.
Knew some of the people there. So it was really cool getting a chance to talk to him and seeing, like, because his series right now, it's called Hex. It's only got like a zero issue, which is like the first issue, pretty much. And like the whole thing, I think it's all sketched out. It's all sketched.
Oh, really?
There's no colors or anything in it. So,
do they also come in big canvas size?
No, it's actually like, it's small, like regular size. But even then, it's still really detailed. Because his style is like very Conan the Barbarian.
Okay, nice.
So, but he has like really cool, like big creatures in it too. So it's almost like a sort of Beauty and the Beast, like Where the Wild Things Are kind of thing. But obviously it's like Conan the Barbarian, so it's like... really, like, you know, big epic battles. And,
right.
And it's crazy because even, like, the background characters are, like, detailed. Like, everything is so detailed. Every single character, even a side character or, like, a background character that will never be seen in any other panels, like, it was still drawn, like, really detailed.
Wow.
Detailed by. So we got to talk to him. I got to talk to some other artists. And there's this one guy that managed to... He was doing some free sketches. So I gave him, like, a reference of Kitty Pryde from X-Men. What was it? X-Men. She's from X-Men. We know her, right? Shadowcat.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. She's the one that could, like, go through walls and stuff, so... And he kind of drew it in his own style, so that was really cool. And... there was obviously, like, sales on comics. There were cosplayers. They actually had the 501st Infantry or something like that. It's like this brigade of, like, Star Wars cosplayers. Yeah.
It's not a con without the Star Wars cosplayers.
Yeah, but there's your typical stormtroopers, and then there were some that I think there were some speeder bike stormtroopers, and then there was like the TIE fighter stormtroopers, and of course Darth Vader was there, and also T.C. Carson was there too. He's the guy who does the voice of Kratos
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah, he was there. But then he was, like, charging, like, $10 to take a photo with him and stuff. So I'm like, I wanted to.
It was the same with me for WonderCon. I saw a couple of people there, you know, that I've really wanted to see. One of them was an actor who plays Jiminy Cricket in Once Upon a Time. And I saw him, and it was kind of like, holy crap. You know, it's like, I've seen him on TV, and he's right here in person. And then, there's other people, like the guy who played, I think was his name Jason, in the first season of the American Power Rangers. So he was the Blue Ranger.
Oh, right. Was it Billy? That's the character.
Well, it was Billy, sorry. Yeah. Jason was the Red Ranger.
Yeah, Jason was the Red Ranger.
But, I mean, you know, at first, being new to a con, I didn't think that it would cost anything. I know, right? I thought they would do it for the love of...
the fans.
Yeah.
I guess, I don't know. I mean, maybe they've reached a point where in their career where they kind of need the money.
I can understand that, but yeah. It's such a popular show.
Right.
And it's, like, it's so big. I would assume he would have, like, you know, been cool about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like he said anything to me, like, oh, you know, like... he didn't say anything rude.
Yeah.
But he, you know, his agent it was like, oh, it's like $10 for a photo or something, this and that, for an autograph. I was like, oh. Okay, I'll be back in like 5 minutes. And I never came back.
You're just like, forget this, man. I'm out of here.
I'm poor.
Hey, I'm out of here.
I'm poor. Okay?
I don't got none of that money. I'm out of here.
Exactly.
What are you talking about? Paying $10 for... take a photograph. I mean, I can just stand off to the side and just...
I kind of was going to do that. I was going to kind of like pull out my phone on the side, or there's actually an app on the Android where you could kind of hold your phone up to your ear, like as if you're taking a photo, and it'll beep, and it'll do it 3 times. It'll take a photo.
So you
hold it up to your ear and you position it to like where you want to take a picture, and it'll snap the photo.
That is awesome.
But
so you can do it without being inconspicuous?
Incognito.
That is amazing.
But I think it's just weird that a lot of these actors and voice actors were like,
yeah,
pay me money. I was like,
yeah,
I'm poor. I barely had enough to pay for this ticket.
Right? I mean, because I really wanted to take a picture with them, because obviously, and I wanted to send a picture to my sister, because obviously she loves the God of War series, and It would have just been awesome to have a photo with him. I mean, like, if it's, like, pay $20 for, like, a print or something, an autographed print, okay, I'd understand that, but, like, take a photo, $10, if it was $5, okay, I probably would have.
Yeah, I would have understood $5. If it was $20, that should have been, like, a photo, autograph, plus a picture.
Right, yeah, that definitely...
I mean, if I was ever that famous, I would be like, alright, $20 for all around, and then, you know, I'll daps you, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was fun. I mean, there were some other panels, too. There's one panel that I really enjoyed. It was, they were talking about just developing female characters, like in comics or games, and just some of the different cliches and tropes of female characters. And I think one of the ladies that was there, she made a really good point. She mentioned like Sailor Moon.
Oh, I love
and,
her.
Well, here, yeah,
that's well, my here, childhood.
Yeah, because I mean, here's this is something that I didn't really think about. It's just the fact that when you have, say, a group of female characters, there's that you could still, like, each of them has their own strengths and weaknesses. For example, like Sailor Jupiter was obviously like the physically the strongest,
yeah,
Sailor Scout, and probably emotionally the strongest. And then you had like Sailor Moon herself. She was probably the physically weakest, the most emotionally weak.
Yeah.
But she had like the strongest conviction.
Right. Right.
And it was just interesting seeing how how you can have even like a group of female characters, and they don't have to fall into the typical stereotype. Cliches that you see in...
right, like damsels in distress.
Yeah, damsels in distress, or just like way too overpowered, wonder, like a Wonder Woman back in the 80s.
Right, right.
So, I mean, it was just really cool seeing... because, I mean, like, I really like female characters, because I feel like they can offer something more as far, like, dimension-wise. Like, there's so much more range of emotions and... beats that you can do, like, that you can use to create like a female character.
Right.
So that's, I mean, that was a really, I mean, the people there, like, I didn't really know who they were. But when they were talking about it, it was just like, really, like, wow, that's a really good point. I didn't think about that.
Right.
And so that was like a panel that I really enjoyed listening to. And I mean, there was, again, it was just really small. And I did manage to snag a bunch of like really good deals. Like I was showing you the Hyrule Historia book.
Awesome.
Which I managed to get for like $21, which is so nice.
I still cannot believe you got it for that.
I know, I couldn't believe it either, because at WonderCon it was like $60. It was full price at the Dark Horse booth.
Right.
But when I saw it at WonderCon, here at the Long Beach Comic Expo, it was only like $21. I'm like, okay, I'm so getting
now,
this.
When you bought it, was it off a Dark Horse booth, or they didn't
no,
have
it was
Dark
one
Horse
of
booth.
The booths that it was that booth that we went to where they had all the stuff for like 40% off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was forget the name.
Cannot beat a bargain.
Yeah, oh no, you couldn't. And just the fact that like it was that price, I mean, I had to take advantage.
I mean,
of that.
I'd pay $60 if the creator of Zelda was there signing it.
Shigeru Miyamoto. Oh yeah.
I was like, he can lick the book.
I would
and
buy.
Not pay $60
see, I would buy.
For.
I would buy two copies. One that he would sign that I could sell on eBay, and then one that I could just keep to myself.
Now, who do I make this to? Make it to eBay.
Yeah, right. Make it to eBay, dear eBay. yeah, so that was really cool. I managed to snag that, and there's a bunch of. There were some Filipino artists that
oh,
were
cool.
there too, and because I went with Brent and
right.
Hans, and actually their dad came.
Oh, too. nice.
Because, I mean, he does architecture.
He does amazing work.
Yeah, he does, like, really awesome, like, architecture. So yeah. He was actually talking to one of the Filipino artists there.
Okay, yeah, because I know when we came back from WonderCon the first day, you know, he was really interested about, you know, how it was. He wanted to go, but
yeah.
It was sold out.
Right.
And all that goodness, but yeah, he's an amazing architecturist.
Yeah,
if that's the correct word for it. I'm tired, so I'm just making up words as I go.
I know, same here. And then after, and it's funny because his office is literally like across the street from the convention center.
Oh,
so I mean, you just like walk up like the
free
street.
Parking.
Yeah, it was basically free parking, and he actually kind of gave us a little tour of like the architecture firm that he works at.
Oh, okay.
It has this really nice just view of like. The Long Beach area, and you could like see the ocean from his place, and so you're showing us all this architecture.
See, if I had an office or I was at a job, even if it was a desk job, a horrible desk job, if it faced the ocean, I would at least be happy.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Because even like the coffee or the lunch room was like kind of overlooked the ocean a little bit. So
I would not
really...
leave that room.
I know, right?
Like,
well, I would be taking so many breaks.
I know. Well, we're going to be going to lunch. We're going down to that good restaurant you like. No, I'm just going to sit here and eat my sandwich and look at the sea.
Yeah. But yeah, it was nice to, the fact that it was just right there. It was really close. We just walked and just had some coffee in his office, in their office lunchroom.
Hey, if it's free, it's worth it.
Yeah. But... Okay, anyways, video games, games, that's what we're really here to talk about.
As always.
Well, actually, okay, well, I was saying earlier this week, Disney announced that EA would basically acquired the rights to publish Star Wars games. Because when LucasArts got shut down by Disney, people were wondering, it's like, okay, who's going to take
right.
over? Who's going to make the new... who's going to make the new Star Wars games? And so, here's a weird thing, because when I read it, that EA took over the Star Wars franchise, or basically, they're going to start publishing more Star Wars titles. Initially, I was like, oh man, why EA? This is terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at stuff like what happened with SimCity, and the whole debacle of like the DRM.
Right.
And Always Online, and all the server issues.
Yeah.
But when I read the article further, they're not developing it. They're giving it to, they gave it to DICE, who does like the Battlefield series, and they gave it to BioWare.
Nice. Oh, they're the ones who...
Oh, no, not BioWare. Visceral Games. So they're the ones who did, like, Dante's Inferno, Dead Space.
Oh, okay.
So I'm hoping that Visceral Games will finish Star Wars 1313, because already that has that kind of, it's third person anyway.
Right.
And it has much more of a gritty gritty atmosphere and tone that I feel like Visceral Games would, they would really, they're best suited for that.
Right. I'm just hoping they don't scrap what's already been done and redo it all and then us having to wait another, like, couple of years for it to come out. That's what I'm hoping won't happen.
Yeah.
But then it makes me wonder if EA's taking over, well, if they're, if they have, if they acquired the rights to it, are we going to start seeing, like, The Sims Star Wars Edition?
I don't know, maybe. I mean, that would be kind of cool.
That'd be funny.
That would actually be pretty funny to have, like, a Sims Star Wars version. You create your own little Death Star. And
I can imagine just hearing, like, hearing, like, a Sim recreate, like, a portion of the movie where it's like, these aren't the droids you're looking for, and it's all in Simlish. Yeah. I just want to know how that's going to look. And with The Sims being so over the top, I can imagine it just being hilarious.
Or it'd be funny if you could, like, recreate the explosion of the Death Star. You can just, like, create, like, a little Luke Skywalker, and he, like, fires the torpedoes into, like, into the weak point of the Death Star and just watch it explode. Because I remember my sister was telling me that, like, when she used to play The Sims, like, whenever she was bored, she would, this is so cruel of her, she would make a pool, and she would get all the Sims to go into the pool.
And she would erase the ladder.
And she would erase the ladder, so, like, they would just end up drowning.
Sometimes it's an actual stress reliever. I remember sometimes I got so mad one day, like, I don't know, I forget why I was mad, and this was with the first Sims, so this is when it was a lot funnier,
because,
like, it's so over the top. I, like, if you built, like, a little house, or even just a wall, and have a Sim go in there and erase the door, put a fireplace with a carpet.
Yeah, that's what she would do, too.
And like, you have your Sim light the fireplace. The
fire, yeah.
Wait a little bit, and you're playing the waiting game, and then you see the carpet catch on fire, and the Sim freaks out. And then they just start screaming.
It's so sad, but it's like,
sometimes it's horrible, but sometimes it just, oof.
Wow, it's something, I guess it just appeals to our, like, depraved nature. Our depraved nature. But anyways, like, so, with the acquisition of Star Wars from EA, I think people are, because there was Battlefront 3 that they had, because actually on Star Wars Day, May 4th, they were showing a live stream of alpha test footage of Battlefront 3. Obviously, the graphics weren't, they were still,
right, but it's the fact that they were giving you a tease.
Yeah, they were just showing what Battlefront 3 could have looked like. And now that DICE, who's obviously been doing the Battlefield series, now that they have Star Wars, that they can publish Star Wars games, I mean, I'm assuming that they're probably going to pick up Battlefront 3. And that's what a lot of Star Wars fans have been really pushing for, is Battlefront 3. When's Battlefront 3 coming out? Have you played? I don't know if you've played the.
I think I have. Bit. It's just probably been a while, and I just can't remember. But I think I have. It's just, it's been such a long time.
Yeah, I haven't. Yeah, because I think I remember playing a little bit of it. Now I would like to see another Rogue Squad.
Yes,
another Rogue Leader.
Yes,
game.
Yes.
And since, like, the vehicle combat in Battlefield 3 has been, like, really, that's been pretty much what it's known for, is, like, the vehicle combat. I mean, it would be nice to have another Rogue Leader game.
Yes.
Because the last one was for GameCube.
Yeah.
Right?
Even then, it was so much fun. That was one of the lineups.
Yeah, that was the launch. Yeah, that was a launch title.
And it was so good.
Yeah, that was definitely a good game.
I mean, the code system sucked, but but aside from that,
yeah, I felt like the code system really didn't, it didn't even make a difference.
Well, it didn't make a difference because it was so hard to do. Because if you guys remember ever playing it, to enter the codes, it's this big wheel, and you circle through the letters. You have to go to each letter so fast and quickly do it, because I guess there's a time limit from when you start to the last letter, so you can't be reading it off, like, a magazine, and, like, doing it at the same time. You would have to, like, I guess, assume, have your friend, like, read it off real fast as you're scrolling through. But aside from that, oh, such a fun game.
Yeah, that was definitely. I remember when we used to play that
over
at Mark's house.
Was that a multiplayer?
It was, right?
I don't know if it was multiplayer. I think we took turns. I think we just took turns with that.
That sounds familiar.
But yeah, it would be interesting to see DICE make it. It would be really cool to have another rogue leader game. And also, there was Criterion also. That's another company that's under EA Games. They're the ones who've done Most Wanted. So, maybe another Pod Racer.
Oh.
That was a fun game.
I remember if any arcade had it, I had to play
it. Oh, yeah. Because it had, like, the handle, and it felt like you were inside
Anakin's. Didn't it rumble, too? Like, didn't it shake?
Yeah, it did. And it's cool because, like, especially since it was using Anakin's Pod Racer, like, it had the two handles, so it's, like, to turn right, I think you would, you'd make the right handle go back, I believe.
Yeah.
It's almost like a hovercraft. It was almost like a hovercraft, the way you would turn and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, to boost forward, you'd push both handles forward to boost. To brake, you would pull back.
Yeah.
So that would be cool, because that was a really underrated game.
I mean, it was, even for the arcade version, I would shovel quarters in there like crazy. And I would still suck at it, but it was so much fun. Yeah. And then that one time, I actually beat that first round, that first race where it's the actual race from the movie where Anakin...
Yeah, it was in Tatooine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I remember hitting walls so many times, but you're just, like, moving around.
But I liked the other one better, because the fact that you could actually repair your pod racer on the go. I don't know if you could have... I don't think you could have done that in the arcade game.
No. Right? In the arcade, it was just the straight-up racing, I think.
Yeah.
Console version...
Yeah, console version, that one you could actually repair your pod racer as in the middle of the race. Because obviously if you were, like, crashing to stuff, you would damage your...
No, I think one of the arcade versions did have that. I think I vaguely remember other buttons that you could press.
Okay.
But I still remember, like, the boost thing. And
yeah. So, I mean, it would be interesting to see Criterion pick up another pod racer game develop another pod racing game.
That would be fun.
Yeah, because, I mean, since you have the next... gen consoles coming up, I mean, it would be really sweet to have some updated graphics.
Oh, yeah.
Just imagine...
I mean, even if it was a reboot, I think they would do it so well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they would also. Although, it just would have been, you know, it would have been really nice if Sony, you know, Gran Turismo, if they picked up iRacing. I think that would have been really cool.
You would see each individual grain of sand passing through you in Tatooine.
But it would be more of like a simulator. You would have
to wear goggles because they probably blast sand in your face.
And then you'd have to like micromanage like all the engine. You had to get all the engine parts and use all the stuff. So it'd be more of like a pod racing simulator instead of just like straight up racing.
I would still pay for that. I would pay to play that.
But yeah, I mean, that was a pretty big announcement this week. And that was something that pretty much caught me off guard. And it's weird because after I read it, initially, like, the first couple, like, minutes, I was, like, kind of angry. Because it's like, EA hasn't...
No.
I mean, EA won the award for the worst company in America.
Well, but it's... They're funding it, I guess is a good way of saying it.
Well, yeah, they're publishing it.
Right.
So, I mean... But even then, that's still... They still have control over the content and over what... What is it that's going to make it into the game? What's not going to make it into the game?
Right.
So, and, you know, will it be, again, DRM? Will it be, is it going to be always online? And
yeah. Well, I think after what happened with SimCity, I think they're going to hopefully learn from their multiple mistakes.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm not trying to hate on EA because I'm such a big Sims fan.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean... There's so much room, and because it's Star Wars, they have to be on par with what the fans want.
But here's the thing, I mean, because people are saying, well, because some people on the other side of the coin, people would be like, well, EA doesn't really care about the fans anyway. I mean, look at SimCity, look what happened to that.
Right.
The fact that if you had people were having trouble even logging into the game, or they would be kicked out of the game, and just the fact that it was just a whole entire mess, and... They did, and remember, even when that happened, you couldn't even get a refund for the game. EA would just say, oh, well, we can't give you a refund, but we'll give you a free game.
Right.
Off of Origin. And so, I mean, people now are even, gamers now are even more wary of EA.
Right.
And so that's why, I mean, I feel that's why a lot of people are pretty worried about this, because it's, yeah, EA might, obviously EA is publishing these games, but, I mean, how are they going to screw it up even more?
But then that's the thing, because it's such a big title name, I would have to assume that they really have to, like, look at the attention to detail, not just in the games, but, like, the software behind it. Like, there's so much room for mistakes that they could do.
Right.
And I would assume that if they did flop on a Star Wars game, then I think that would just make people not even want to purchase Star Wars games anymore, just because they screwed up again.
Well, even then, with, like, you had, like, the Old Republic, which, I mean, sales-wise, it did pretty well, but then it kind of tanked. And so, I mean, a lot of people are, even now, they're a little bit more wary about Star Wars games in general.
Right.
So, and the fact, it's just weird because it's like, yeah, Star Wars games haven't been the best lately, and now EA is having exclusive publishing rights to publish new Star Wars games.
Right.
So now people are, like, even more on the fence, to the point where it's like, a lot of the gamers on communities are just like, screw this, like, this is like the worst move that's ever been, it's like adding salt to the wound.
Yeah.
We're already, a lot of Star Wars fans are wounded in the fact that recent Star Wars games haven't even been good.
Yeah.
For the most part. And now that the worst company in America has taken over publishing rights they would just really feel betrayed.
Right. Well, I mean, there's that unknown. We don't know what's going to happen. So it could be a comeback. It could be their downfall.
Yeah.
So all we have to do is wait and see what happens.
Yeah, because it's weird because it's weird because I don't feel very terrified at the prospect of EA. Because once they announced that, oh yeah, DICE has it, and Visceral has it, they've been making good games.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, DICE, obviously Battlefield 3 has been pretty successful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it may not be the most groundbreaking video game, but it is pretty successful, and it's up there with, like, Call of Duty. And Visceral Games have been putting out, like, Dead Space and Dante's Inferno, and those games have been pretty good. And so, I mean, I feel like there's a little bit... That's weird, because I was expecting myself to be, like, completely outraged and, oh, I'm never going to buy another Star Wars game now that Tenable by E3, but when I read that it was being developed by those companies, I'm just like, well, you know what?
So there's a little wiggle room for hope.
Yeah, a new hope.
But, Basing. But, like I said, it's all a waiting game, and all we could do is pretty much wait and see if what happens, what they come out with, like, what trailers we're going to see next.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we got to just keep a lookout.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm definitely going to be checking that out. And hopefully, I'm assuming next couple years, I mean, probably by next year, we'll have more Star Wars stuff. Hopefully, we'll have more either live demos or new gameplay footage for the press to see. Hopefully it will be good, because I mean there's so many other Star Wars games that kind of disappeared, and some people were saying that, you know, we should bring back the Jedi Knight series.
Yes,
because there was I remember like Jedi Outcast, Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Outcast was awesome.
What was the one for the PS1?
Jedi Knight?
Was it Jedi Knight? The very first one?
I think so. Well, there was like Dark Forces 2.
It was the one where you see the girl with like, it looked like dreadlocks, but it was like tentacle-like hair.
I don't know. Is that Jedi Academy?
No.
Jedi Academy was like much
later.
That was like the sequel to.
I think it was Jedi Knights. I think it was the first one.
Okay.
I remember it was like, it was hard, but it was so much fun because you were a Jedi.
Yeah.
And it's just that concept of like you, like, pushing droids out of the way. I remember it was so much fun, even deflecting lasers.
Right.
And, like, hitting them at droids was just so much fun. I think I would actually like that if it came out on Vita. I would play it again.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be pretty cool. I mean, having a new Jedi Knight game would be pretty awesome.
Definitely, definitely.
Because, I mean, Jedi Outcast was... I love that game. That was such an awesome game. And then Jedi Academy was, like, the sequel to that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really good, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it would be interesting to have a next-gen Jedi Knight game.
Mm-hmm.
And like we mentioned, another pod racing game would be amazing.
Yes.
They should bring back Shadows of the Empire.
Yeah.
Remember, like, in the first level, there was, like, you're in the canyon...
Wasn't that jetpack things?
No, there was
that was the Phantom Menace.
Yeah, that's Phantom Menace. No, but there was that one part in the Shadows of the Empire where there's like stormtroopers that are like across a bridge, and you had like that heat, that remote control rocket launcher.
Yes, I think I remember.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, like they would fall and they would like scream.
Yeah.
And then there was also like a, almost like I forgot what kind of creature it was, but it was basically just like a Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And then we would try to shoot him off the edge of the cliff.
Yes, I remember that. It was like Skyrim back then with the shouts. We just want to see people fall off the cliff.
Exactly, yeah, that was like the best. So it would be cool to have, like, what if Visceral were to do a reboot of Shadows of the Empire? I mean, that'd be pretty, pretty sweet. And, yes, I mean, again, that's biggest news so far. Trying to think what else... is there. Well, kind of halfway through. I don't know if we want to take a quick break.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, we'll take a quick break.
And we'll be right back. And we're back. Hopefully you guys had a good break. I know we did. Get some water.
Yeah, more water. More water. So anyways, Germs. What have you been playing, Gabe?
I think from what I remember the last time we talked, I think I talked about Devil May Cry.
Uh-huh.
Still playing that. Still playing the HD collection. Haven't finished the first one yet just because been so busy. But...
Well, yeah, because I thought you meant you were... When you said you were playing Devil May Cry, I thought you meant you were talking about the new one.
No. I bought the HD collection. It's got 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
All... Well, it's not necessarily remastered.
Yeah.
Kind of. But it is all the old games. Mm-hmm. It's a lot smoother. It's a lot faster.
Okay.
Still fun. I got it for that nostalgia.
Yeah.
And it was cheap, so.
how much was it when you got it?
At GameStop, I think it was like 15 or 20 bucks, but I had the buy two get one free.
Okay.
So nice. I believe that one came free. And and
what?
So,
wait, what other games did you get? You got Dishonored, right?
Yes. yeah, I think I got Dishonored, Asura's Wrath.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
That's right.
No, it wasn't Borderlands. When did I get Borderlands?
I thought you got that a while ago. You got Borderlands 2, didn't you?
I got it. Well, I sold it, unfortunately. Because I needed money. But, No, I got Borderlands 2 when I got the Turtle Beaches.
Oh, okay, got it.
That's right. Okay, yeah. So it was Dishonored, Asura's Wrath, and then Devil May Cry.
Okay.
Going back to what we were talking about... That's what I've been playing.
Okay. Wait, how many? That's 1, 2, 3?
Mm-hmm.
1, 2. Yeah, because there's 4.
1, 2, and 3.
Okay, got it. All right, so it was the PS2 ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, it's been a while since I played those. I don't even remember the story.
I forget how challenging it is.
Yeah, it is tough, especially when you try to get, like, those S ranks.
Yeah.
On doing your combos and stuff.
But aside from that, that's pretty much all I've been playing.
Oh, did you get a chance to play Afraid of Monsters?
No, because I...
Oh, you need Half-Life 1.
Yeah, right? I don't have it yet. I need to get it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, was awesome.
But, but aside from that, I think that's it. I've been trying to find new MMOs to play, but it's just I haven't had any time.
Oh, Marvel Heroes is open beta this weekend, but it's already Saturday night, and it's like 10 gigs. It's like a huge file to download on Steam.
Ain't nobody got space for that.
Ain't nobody got space for that.
But yeah, I mean, I've been trying to find something. I mean, I think right now it's coming to a point where I'm like, honestly, I'm waiting for Destiny. I haven't pre-ordered it yet, and I'm going to soon, but I know at GameStop, if you pre-order it, you get this really big poster.
Oh, okay.
And it's not one of the small lithographic size posters. It's huge.
Oh, okay.
It's a huge double-sided poster.
Ooh, nice.
Really nice. It's really good quality paper. It's not flimsy. Mm-hmm. It almost feels like a movie-style poster.
Oh, really?
That's yeah. Cool. So, I aside from the poster, you know, I've just been reading up on the game. I want to play it so bad. I know I will, because,
yeah.
I mean, I got it, especially for you guys. And yeah. If you guys end up getting it, I want to play with you guys.
Yeah, Destiny.
But aside from that, in terms of games in general, not much. I mean, I've downloaded a couple of mobile games for my phone. I know one's been kind of been like sticking with me for a while just because it's...
Which one?
It's okay. It's on Android, if you guys have an Android. It's called Paplinko. It just reminds me of Plinko what's the name Plinko of that game show? The Price is Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it reminds me of The Price is Right, sort
remember
of.
Lola would always, like, watch that.
I would still watch
it. Yeah, that's awesome. That's
like,
awesome.
Especially when they do the bids.
Yeah.
There's always that one jerk that's got to do $1, or someone would put $40 or $400. You get that one person, it's like 401. And I just love watching that because I love seeing the other person's reaction because they look over with them and they're like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's kind of a jerk move.
Yeah. But with Paplinko, it's essentially like Plinko, if you guys don't know it. It's basically you take a little ball or puck, like from the game show, and you drop it.
And it randomly falls.
Yeah, it falls in with Paplinko. As you hit the little, like, tick-like things, you get points.
Mm.
And at the bottom, you get coins, you get prizes, or there's little slimes or oozes. Mm-hmm. The green one, green ooze, I think takes, I don't know if it's half of your points that you rack up, or if it's a quarter of it, I don't remember. And then the purple ones reduce your multiplier count.
Mm-hmm.
So you could rack up like a million points, and I mean I just do it because it kind of takes up my time.
It's like a time waster.
Yeah, and you just watch it like go down, and you're just like come on. But
come on, man.
Honestly, that's pretty much all I've been.
My savings is riding on this.
Yeah. Mama needs a new pair of shoes. But that's pretty much all I've been looking at in terms of games right now. Mm-hmm. You know, looking to find something new. I know with my new job, since I'm beginning more money,
yeah.
I want to get some of the Xbox arcade games. I want.
Oh yeah.
I want to get Jet Grind Radio.
Yes.
I loved that game. Still love it now. I know they have Crazy Taxi.
Oh, they do?
They do.
Yes.
They have Crazy Taxi. I love that game.
Oh, we used to play that.
So much fun.
We used to play that on Mark's Dreamcast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One and two. And they had good music, too.
Oh, yeah. They had Offspring on there.
And it's funny because I think Crazy Taxi was the first game that I actually noticed advertisements in the game.
There were?
Yeah, because some of the people who would call for a taxi, they're like, "Oh, take me to the KFC," and you would literally take them to a KFC.
Product placement.
Exactly, and that was the first time I actually noticed product placement in a video game.
Wait, was that in the arcade also?
Yeah, yeah.
Really, it was.
Yeah.
Because I never noticed that.
Like you tend not to because you're so worried on the time, and then you're following the arrow.
Right.
But, yeah, that was the first game I actually noticed product placement.
Oh, man.
Let's see, they have, what was that game we talked about last episode with where you're a thief? You're a group of thieves.
Oh, Monaco?
Yeah, they got Monaco there. They have Super Puzzle Fighter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Love that game.
I know Fez is on there, too.
Yes. Yes, Fez is on there, and I actually saw some gameplay. It looks awesome.
Yeah, it looks kind of confusing. Maybe headache-induced.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it's a good... from what I've heard, it's a really great puzzler. Mm. It makes you really think outside the box. It's almost as if... it's almost like Guacamelee in terms of... using different dimensions, like how you have the undead world and the real world. This one, you're moving, like
literally rotating the world.
Yeah, yeah. And so I know there's that. There's so many games that I've seen on there, but I need a new hard. I need a bigger hard drive. But with Live, you get cloud storage.
Got it.
But I'm just wondering if you could actually download games onto the cloud storage and pull it.
But you can always
there.
Get a new hard drive, though, right? You can always just replace it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could probably even get, like, a 500 gig hard drive and just, like, replace it on...
I think you could go that far. I don't remember.
Yeah. I mean, if you could just do it for cheap instead of having them... if I'm not mistaken, it uses a regular hard drive.
Yeah.
So you could pretty much just get a regular hard drive.
I think you just have to format it to Xbox specs.
Right.
But...
so, I mean, there's obviously videos that you can look up. Do that.
YouTube University, your best friend on the internet.
Or Skillshare.com.
Or Google.
Google's
your best friend.
YouTube, Google is the internet. Google's the internet, basically.
Google's the internet. YouTube is that awesome friend that you like to hang out with all the time.
Because you know you're going to be wasting time together.
In general, that's it for me on games.
I've been playing. I was playing a little bit of Cry of Fear, so I've been doing that.
I completely forgot that I had that after we tried.
Oh, really?
Tried doing it together, and I forgot my computer. We could have done it.
So that's pretty fun. That was pretty scary, and so yeah, I've been playing that obviously at night with headphones, and so that
at
one,
3 in the morning.
Yeah, so that one. This one's gonna actually. I've been recording it, too, so we can have it up on the Facebook page. So it's going to be in, like, several parts. And I'm not going to... I don't think I'm going to do the entire game.
Uh-huh.
But I do want to just give, like, a couple parts to show what it's like.
Yeah.
And show a little bit of a sort of a preview, I guess you could say, of what the game is.
Uh-huh.
And another game I've been playing... and I just got Surgeon Simulator 2013, so we're going to play that pretty much right after we record this. And I'm trying to think. And I've also been playing... yeah, I've been playing some more iOS games. I was playing this game called Random Heroes 2. And it's kind of like your typical side-scrolling, pixelated side-scrolling, kind of like Metroid style.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is that... it's called Random Heroes, so it's like you unlock costumes.
Uh-huh.
And you have like your standard... average Joe character, and then you have like a gentleman costume or like a hippie.
That's funny.
And you obviously get guns. Mm-hmm. And so throughout the game you collect coins and you can use it to purchase guns. And you also get crystal skulls. And so, because usually to get a costume you need not only just coins, but you need a crystal, like a certain number of crystal skulls in order to get the costume. And so some of the prices, like, for the items are, like, really expensive, so it obviously will take a lot of time. So that's where the in-app purchases come in.
Yeah.
And the fact that, where you can... but for some reason, I've been trying to... because I've been wanting to spend... I wanted to spend, like, at least a couple bucks. But whenever I tried to get on to the... to purchase, like, credits and stuff, it just won't...
it won't let you.
Yeah, it's just, like, it's down... it's been down for the past several days.
It must be popular, then.
Yeah, because I really want to... yeah, this is a game that I wouldn't mind throwing a couple bucks at.
Mm-hmm.
So I think... I've been playing that. That one's really fun. And the nice part is, actually, is when you're playing through the levels, like, when you die,
mm-hmm.
like, say you collected, like, you're running through a level and you collect around, like, say that you collect 100 coins. When you, if you were to die and you restart the level, you still keep those coins.
Oh, cool.
So that way you could just keep racking up more coins to get more weapons, and you can also upgrade your weapons, too.
Thanks.
And so, yeah, there's, like, different kinds of weapons. You can get, like, your regular pistol, or a Uzi, or a shotgun, or, like, a plasma rifle. Obviously, those ones are going to be more expensive, so it's going to take more time. And there's, like, boss battles, also. And it's really fun. It's a really fun little side-scrolling game. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to see what else. I'm looking at my iPhone right now, see what other games I've been playing. I've also been playing... I was also playing Minigore, too. I don't know if you saw. I posted it up on the Facebook
page. Yeah, I remember seeing that, and I was like, I can't play that.
Yeah, because it's iOS only.
That does not apply to me.
Yeah, because Destructoid was doing a deal with the developers for Minigore 2, and it's a really fun game. It's Minigore 2 Zombies.
Mm-hmm.
So you basically are this character, and you're like in a level, and just monsters and zombies will just start dropping in, and you just like killing them.
Uh-huh.
And so like, and you get like different weapons as like you're progressing through the waves of enemies, and they'll throw, it's not like they'll throw like 5-10 guys at you, they'll throw like 30-40
nice.
Like enemies at you all at once. And then you'll have like big bosses that will kind of periodically drop in into the middle of your
this
fight.
Debacle.
Yeah, so there's like, there'll be like 40-50 like zombies and monsters
and
trying
then,
to
bam,
get you.
Boss battle.
Well, not necessarily boss battle, like the bosses will kind of jump into, like, right in the middle of it. And so then, like, you get, like, loot, and you can use it to actually purchase more characters and upgrade the characters. And so there's, like, your main guy is, what's his name? Oh my gosh, I'm forgetting his name. Something Gore. And then you get, like, you can unlock his daughter, Jenny Gore. And they can unlock his dad, his crazy war veteran. You can even unlock, like, a Santa. A Santa or, like, this demon bear. And, like, you can also unlock levels and stuff, too. And you can purchase additional weapons and upgrade weapons.
Okay.
Nice. And, yeah, that one's really fun. I've, like, invested, like, many hours in this game. It's just, like, so addicting. Just because of the fact that, like, it's really satisfying being able to, like, kill, like, 50 guys, and they're, like, all trying to surround you, and it's, like, and it's really funny, because it also has, like, auto-aim, too.
Okay.
So it makes it a little easier for you to kind of manage all those waves of enemies that come at you. And I'm trying to think what else I've been playing. I mean, that's all I've been really playing lately. I'm trying to think what else. Is there anything else that, man, there's like so many, I haven't had much time lately either to play games. But I don't know, cause I've just been reading comics and yeah, there's just, it's also, I think I don't know if I told you, I told you that like my laptop died on
me. Oh yeah.
So the hard drive fried, and so pretty much, I tried to save it, but I made it worse, so I have to
like Insurgent Simulator.
Yeah, right? So now I have to like switch to my desktop, and so I don't really have as many games on my desktop, but I mean, I have to like re-download. I mean, I managed to back up several games onto my external drive. Right. So
well, luckily, the games are synced up with Steam Cloud.
Yeah. So well, the thing is, I lost my save. Well,
save file, save onto.
Well, because I did it back. I just backed up
the
game file. So it's like I have to start all over again.
But normally, Steam is good with backing up your save files.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I remember I was playing a couple games, and then I wanted to play this other game that I haven't played in a while. And I had deleted it previously, and I was like, oh, man, I don't want to have to redo all this again. And I was like, well, let's see. So I downloaded it. I don't remember which game it was, but I booted it up. and it still had, like, oh, press continue to go. And I was like, oh, sweet.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know if it's all of them, but I know some of them do.
Okay. All right, I need to check that out. I think this weekend, they're having a Call of Duty Black Ops 2 multiplayer for free. I mean, well, obviously, by the time people listen to this podcast, it's already going to be over.
Yeah.
But they had that, and they also had the Marvel Heroes beta weekend this weekend as well. Oh, and they still need to get Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. I heard it's amazing. This has been such a busy week.
Same for me.
All I've been doing is, like, at work, I would just... Because we have, like, couches inside the office, so, like, on my lunch break, I would technically eat lunch and then, like, still do some work.
Yeah.
And then by the time I'm done eating lunch, that's when I go on my break. And so, like, I'll just, like, sit on, like, one of the nice couches there and I'll just, like, play on my iPhone for, like, a good 30 minutes.
That's why I need to reinvest in a mobile console. A handheld console.
Yeah, like a PS Vita.
I miss my 3DS, because I want to play Dark Moon.
Oh!
I want to play Luigi's Mansion 2, Dark Moon.
Oh, I heard Luigi's Mansion is really good.
And it sucked, too, because I had pre-ordered it a long time ago, and I had sold my 3DS because I needed to pay for my phone bill.
Oh.
And I was like, sad to let it go. I was like,
it was just the regular, not the XL, right?
No, this was before the XL came out.
Oh, okay, got it.
And when I bought the 3DS, I had Star Fox.
Oh.
I had Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time.
Nice.
And I think those were the only two I had, if I remember correctly.
I think I did.
And now I actually found out that, because before I bought the 3DS, I had a DS Lite that I had since 06. And that I kept that up to, like, for 5 years, and it still was, like, it looked pretty good.
Okay.
But I bought the
which one?
The chip.
Oh, the mod chip?
Yeah, I bought a mod chip, and I actually found out that mod chips actually work for 3DSs.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know if in terms of 3DS games, but I would still like to play DS games.
Okay. Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I was gonna get a mod chip, but I just never got around to it.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know, I mean, now it's like, for me now, I don't even feel like I want to, like, pirate games
right.
anymore.
Right. It's kind of the same with me. Now that you earn money, it's kind of like, well, I might as well just buy it. But then there's those times where it's like, you really want it.
Yeah.
And it's like, ugh. or you know what, it's the mod chip, the reason why I bought the mod chip, one, so I didn't have to pay, because at the time,
yeah.
I was working at Vans at the time, and so I was just making minimum wage,
right.
You know, a little seasonal job, so I had extra money, I was like, oh, why not, and so I bought it, and, you know, I was playing old games that, like, I haven't played since the launch of the first DS, and I wanted to play them again.
Yeah.
And you can't find them. Just kind of one of the reasons why I got it. And I remember our cousin Mark had a couple movies on it. I was like, you're watching a movie on your DS? What? I mean, the one I bought didn't have the movie capabilities, but I didn't care.
Yeah.
It was all about the games.
Right.
And I wanted Rhythm Heaven.
Oh,
I love
Rhythm Heaven.
That game. Oh. So much fun.
And they had that for the Wii.
Yeah. I don't think it was probably as fun as the DS version, just because...
I didn't know they had a DS version.
That's where it first started.
Oh, okay. Because, like, yeah. When I saw it for the Wii, I'm like, oh, this looks so much fun.
Yeah, it started off on the DS.
Oh, okay.
It was crazy. It was actually really fun.
That's how up-to-date I am on Nintendo.
Hey, I'm so far behind, too, on it. And then it sucked, too, because I had a DS, and then I also had a PSP that was also modded.
Yeah, same.
But then I accidentally dropped something on top of my PSP and it shattered the screen. And I was like, no. But now I want a Vita. I mean, I even had the PSP Go.
Okay.
And, okay, it sucked, but it was cool at the same time.
Like, what do you mean?
Well, I loved the way it slid, because it slid out. It was a little annoying sometimes, but it was kind of cool because it looked like a phone.
Right.
And the only sucky part was that you couldn't buy physical games. You would have to buy the digital downloads.
Right,
the digital downloads. But, I mean, they weren't too crazy expensive. Mm-hmm. The down part was you couldn't sell it back. But, I mean, even if you did sell it back, you're probably getting, like, say you bought, like, a $30 game, you're only getting, like, $10 back. Oh, less even at that.
Oh, okay.
But I like the fact that you never lose your games.
Right.
You could re-download them whenever you want.
Yeah, kind of like Steam.
Yeah, and you could, and what's cool is that whenever you buy it on the PSN network, if I were to buy a Vita, I know I could re-download the games that I already have downloaded. So, on the PSN network, I have Silent Hill Origins. Oh, I have Ratchet and Clank, because when I got the Go, if you signed up for it, I think at a certain time, you got 3 free games.
Oh.
They gave you...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They gave you SOCOM 3, I think. I don't remember which one. Mm-hmm. They gave you Ratchet and Clank. It was Ratchet and Clank, but I think it was only Clank's Adventure or something.
Oh, yeah, it was just Clank, right?
And then there was one... Oh, yes. I can't believe I forgot it. It gave you Little Big Planet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And so it was cool because at the time I didn't have money. And then when I found out they gave you 3 free games, I was like, no way. So I was like, heck yeah. And then after that I bought a couple more games because they were on sale. Like Silent Hill Origins. I already had bought it a long time ago for my PSP.
Yeah.
And then I sold it. And then it was on sale, so I bought it again. And honestly, the PSP Go's graphics, at least the LED screen, was a lot crisp. Mm-hmm. So it was nice.
Yeah.
And like I said, it felt like a phone. You could use Skype.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. You could use Skype. You could go on Wi-Fi like a normal PSP.
Right.
It wasn't as bulky.
Okay,
and that's what I loved about it.
Yeah.
But now I really do kind of want a Vita. I mean, granted, there's not that many games out yet.
Yeah. I mean, there are some. Like, for example, like Waka Melee.
Right.
That one can be done. And yeah, some of the games have... that capability where you can continue the game onto your Vita, which is pretty nice.
Yeah, I would like that. It's just, sometimes it's just, like, I get lazy to even turn on my Xbox. Like, when you have...
How lazy are you?
No, it's just like, say you wake up, it's your day off.
I gotta turn on the TV?
Well, it's not like that, it's just...
What am I, a triathlete here?
Like, sometimes I'll I don't know where my controller is, and then I'm just like...
You mean I gotta flush the toilet? Come on.
I don't know. I like the fact that I didn't have to prop myself up to face my screen, my TV, while with a handheld. I could just lay on my bed and just look up and just play, or like tilt to the side and just play.
Yeah, I would tilt to the side because I don't want it to drop on my face.
I've done that so many times. But I mean, I like laying on my side and playing my DS or my PSP and... not having to care that the TV's on or whatever. I could just, like, sit there.
Yeah. It's just, like, having those mod chips and stuff. I mean, for me, initially, I was just like, I want to get those just because I don't really have the money to afford it. But I think now, even as we've been doing this podcast, it's more and more, it's like I'm starting to see that, it's better to just buy the game.
Yeah, because I remember when you first kind of introduced me to Steam. Like, I already knew about Steam when the Steam Box came out because our cousin Mark had it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, what's this? And I was like, all right, whatever. And then you told me about Steam. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And you were telling me, like, every once in a while they have awesome sales. And then got into it, and I saw all the sales that they had, and I went crazy on games.
Yeah, you're like, buy every, get all the things.
Heck yeah, that's how it was.
Buy all the games.
I was like, this is on sale? That's $2? This is 50 cents?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Exactly. Because, like, during the summer and winter, and I think spring, they have sales.
Yeah.
But the winter sale is, like, the craziest.
It's the best
one. That's the best. That's the... Well, no. And summer camp. The Steam summer camp is also good.
Cannot wait for that.
Yeah, so I can't wait for that, see what's on. But, I mean, now it's, like, I haven't really pirated a game in a while. Yeah. Just because same it's here. Like, now that I've seen, I mean, now that obviously that I'm earning a decent amount of money and yeah. can afford buying those games, mm-hmm. And just working in the industry.
Yeah.
And just
seeing, I think it was because when we did it, at the time, we were, you know, either still, like, maybe in college, high school, whatnot. And we had all the time in the world.
Yeah.
To wait for it.
Right.
And now that we can buy it at a finger, a touch of a finger, mm-hmm. What's the why would you, like, well, what's with the hassle of waiting a day or two
to, like, download?
And then you don't know if, like, one file screws up, the whole yeah. thing's messed up.
Yeah, exactly. And I think now also just working in that field, it's like, now I see that I am supporting
yeah.
the artists, mm-hmm. and supporting the programmers, and supporting the people who made the game.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, for me, like, that's definitely radically changed the way I view getting games.
Oh yeah, and definitely.
So I mean, even then, it's like I just don't do that. Really, I don't really do that anymore. Just yeah. because it's the fact that I not only am I paying for a game because it's the right thing to do, but also just the fact that, you know, I'm helping support
yeah
the artist there, and yeah, that's why it's like now it's like. Like, when I think about, like, if I get a mod chip, I'm like, do I really want to get a mod chip? I mean, yeah. it's like, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I could save, like, a whole bunch of money, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know, I feel like...
I mean, if I were to get one, I think I would get one for, like, a niece or nephew, just so, like...
so you don't have to pay
for, for their games. Yeah, like, well, let's go to GameStop. All right. I want this, I want that. I was like, all right, let me make the list.
Let's make a list. You want
that. All right. All right, we're good.
It'd be the cool.
But I know, I want the Steam Box now.
Steam Box?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of iffy on that.
I just want what I have on Steam already, just to be on a bigger screen, and not have to worry about my horrible little laptop that could barely play games.
Yeah.
And because I don't have money.
Well, now that you're going to be working, you could start... I mean, I could help you set up. Like, for yeah. $500, I can help you build a pretty decent gaming machine.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's... I'm pretty sure I have some extra stuff that you could have.
Yeah.
And, yeah, even for, like, $500, you could... $500, $600? I mean, yeah, that's about the price of a console, but you'll be able... At least you'll be able to... And that's kind of the nice part about PC gaming now, is that, yeah, but it can be expensive,
mm-hmm.
but you can also... I mean, yeah, it's still going to be more expensive than console gaming, for sure.
Yeah.
But now it's like you can make a better game, you can make a better rig for even cheaper than before.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, I spent about, like, $800 or so. But now the fact that I can make a computer for less than that, for even, like, $500,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty sweet. Okay. So, I mean, yeah, you know, once you start earning some money...
Once they start racking up that grain.
Yeah, once you start making them cash flow, just save up and we'll build the computer.
Heck yeah.
That way we can play more games.
Yeah. Because, like, for you guys who are listening, the only computer I have... Okay, I have two. I have a desktop that I got from my cousin, because her parents got a new one. They didn't have... They had an old one. It was, you know, riddled with viruses.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I'll take care of it. I got all their information out. And so she just gave me the computer. I was like, that was cool. And I thought I could, like, fix it up. And it's kind of sitting there gathering dust. and so basically I've been playing most of my PC games on my Mac, which is bootcamped for yeah. Windows. And
which you still got to show me how to do. I still don't know how to do
that. Oh, I'll tell you about that later. Actually, I could give you something for that. Okay. Anyway, but with my Mac, because the heat comes from one side of the Mac, and when it gets yeah. too hot, it'll turn off on me.
Oh.
And so I'll always have to, like, prop it up. I have to grab my fan, bring it closer to my computer so it's blowing out that exhaust mm-hmm. somewhere else. And it's just, I don't want that hassle anymore. Like, I want to be able to sit in a comfy chair and enjoy the games to the full potential.
All that to say, you want Steam Box. I don't really have much else to say at this point.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can get some more game time later this week. Uh-huh. And yeah, we'll be trying to post up some more videos. I do want to post up at least part one of my Cry of Fear experience. And yeah, you gotta get Afraid of Monsters. And also we're gonna be doing Surgeon Simulator also. So we'll see how that goes. I'll let you take control.
Take the reins.
Like I said, like us on Facebook, follow us on iTunes, subscribe to us on iTunes, Pixelbot Podcast. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/pixelbot. Mm-hmm. Follow our WordPress, thepixelbot.wordpress.com. Follow our YouTube page, youtube.com/user/thepixelbotplays. So hopefully I'm going to try and compartmentalize my time so at least I can get some more videos up.
Mm-hmm. And I know I'm going to try and make some more Let's Plays.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be doing that hopefully soon, if I have time, because I've been kind of busy. But aside from that, it is now past midnight, so happy Mother's Day to all those mamas out there.
Mamas, without you, we wouldn't be here. Literally.
Right. But, you know, happy Mother's Day.
All the moms out there, thank you for being awesome. Even the gaming moms out there, you guys are awesome.
And you allow us to play video games.
Well, no, I'm almost talking about the moms who are active gamers.
Oh, yeah. Like your sister.
Yeah, like my sister. Well, she's not really as active as...
She still plays.
She still plays, yeah, but not as much as before, obviously, since she has to take care of three little kids. But, yeah, so happy Mother's Day to all the moms and mams out there. And, yeah, so we'll see you guys next time. Hopefully we'll have some more things to talk about.
And we'll try to get it on time again.
Yeah, we'll try to get it on time.
We'll say we try, but...
Yeah, I mean, we're still trying to figure out all our schedules, so...
Yes.
But, yeah, hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We will see you guys later. Bye. Peace, Internet!